With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Apple is wielding its power as a privacy protector.
They've really tried over the past year to distinguish themselves as a privacy protector relative to other tech companies. And in doing so, what they're doing, or one of the things they run the risk of doing, is if they have any privacy slip-ups, that's going to be the type of thing that gets more scrutiny.
Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle has the details. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. While there's no evidence that the longest government shutdown in U.S. history led to a decline in federal government payrolls, federal employees did consider leaving, as an increase in searches on private jobs websites shows. Job site Indeed.com reported an increase in page views from government employees at the end of December and into January. And LinkedIn and ZipRecruiter reported an increase in the number of government workers who said they were open to or considering new jobs. A 38% drop in oil prices last year didn't dent the profits of big oil companies, which posted some of their biggest annual profits in years. Exxon, Chevron, and Shell were among those that generated more profits last year than in 2014, when global crude sold for an average of nearly $100 a barrel. Prices averaged about $71 a barrel last year. Soybean futures rose last week following news that China plans to buy 5 million tons from the U.S. According to data from the Agriculture Department, that would nearly double the average monthly amount Chinese importers bought in 2016 and 2017. But many remain skeptical that'll make a difference with a record stockpile in the U.S. Chinese importers had shifted their buying to Brazil and Argentina after imposing tariffs on U.S. soybeans last year. Still to come, more details on Apple's role as a privacy protector. Apple has punished Google and Facebook over violations of its privacy policies, even as the tech giant recently faced its own privacy problem with FaceTime. The move signaled that Apple is trying to solidify its power as a protector of user privacy at a time when the tech industry is under intense scrutiny. Joining us now with more details via Skype from San Francisco is Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle. Trip, last week we saw Apple take steps to penalize Google and Facebook over what it called violations of its developer policies concerning personal data. So what exactly happened in each of these cases?
Apple makes it possible for companies around the world and in the U.S. to create internal apps that don't have to go through the same approval process as the external apps, the consumer-facing apps that are available on the App Store. These are apps that can be used to do anything from ordering in your workplace cafeteria to corresponding with somebody within the office that you work at. Facebook and Google used this program in order to release an app externally. They each had apps that were released externally that were used to collect data and information about how people use iPhones and interacted on the devices. And Apple, when it learned of this, punished both companies for doing that by revoking their ability to use all internal apps during the course of this week. It subsequently restored that access, but it took pretty quick action to punish the companies.
And perhaps ironically, this comes at a time when Apple was facing questions over its own user protection policies when it revealed last week that a bug allowed FaceTime users to actually eavesdrop on devices, even if the receiver of those calls hadn't yet picked up. Isn't Apple seeing some fallout there?
Yes, and this is the type of thing that's going to happen when you take the stance that Apple has on privacy. I mean, they've really tried over the past year to distinguish themselves as a privacy protector relative to other tech companies. And in doing so, what they're doing, or one of the things they run the risk of doing, is if they have any privacy slip-ups, that's going to be the type of thing that gets more scrutiny from media and consumers. And in this case, actually, politicians than the company would get otherwise. And I say in this case politicians because New York State has come out and said it will investigate this FaceTime issue that kind of bubbled to the surface over this past week.
Tell us a little bit more about what you think Apple is trying to do here. We know CEO Tim Cook has long been an advocate for privacy legislation, and you spoke to some analysts who say Apple's trying to flex its might here. At the same time, we know from your reporting, the company's latest earnings, that it's seen slowing growth in China and overall when it comes to iPhones. So tell us a little bit about the strategy here.
Apple has both a commercial interest in pushing privacy to the forefront of consumer awareness, and it has a philosophical interest in doing so. There's a certain amount of sincerity to its position on privacy. I mean, when you look at what Apple has done around the iPhone since the iPhone's conception, they've been very cognizant of what information the company collects off the device, and they don't sell advertising in the same way other companies do that are big tech giants like Facebook and Google. And so one of the things the company has tried to do of late is accentuate that difference in a way to hopefully find kind of some marketing wiggle room to differentiate itself from its peers in the technology industry, make its device more appealing to those who are becoming more aware of privacy as an issue and want to protect their data. Apple would like to be the first choice for people who are interested in that, and they'd like people to buy their devices because they value the privacy protections that Apple says it offers on those devices.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle joining us via Skype from San Francisco. Thank you so much, Trip.
Thanks so much.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.